I began to realize something. You know, the Jewish leaders at the time of Jesus were divided, and so the question that they had among themselves is, which one of us is right? You know, and the truth of the matter was that none of them were. None of them were right. Jesus didn't say, the lawyers, you're right, or the scribes, you're right, or the Pharisees, you're right. There wasn't any. Each one, he said, you know, they're all of their father, the devil. And so what we have today is a church scene that is very much like what Jesus had in his day. And I thought, see, each one is right as far as they're concerned. And from my observation and from having been a part of a lot of different groups over the years, my thing is that none of them are right. They think they are. We were in community chapel and we were convinced we were right. We weren't, but we thought we were. We were convinced. I was in a Lutheran scene, and I thought, well, we're pretty good. I heard at a meeting one time with a number of Lutheran ministers all talking, and one of them that was the oldest and the wisest and so forth, and they asked him some questions. He said, well, I think, and when I heard him talk, I thought, this is God speaking. His thoughts. You know, because that's where I was at. That's what I thought. Pretty much the way that this fellow was, that we were talking to yesterday. And Clayton gave him some things to think about. But I don't know if he could relate to it or not. But that's where the church is. Which one's right? None of them. Including us. But the thing about it is, there's a secret. In order to be saved, you have to have a love for the truth. And so you get into an environment, and what happens, the people keep hearing the same false things over and over and over and over, and after a while they believe these things to be the truth. And it stops them from receiving a love for the truth. And we've been there. We're there in community chapel. We kept hearing things, a lot of the things were not right. But they seemed to be. They thought they were. And so you're not open to receive a love for the truth. Why do you want to receive a love for the truth? You already have it.
I don't know if I got anything burning, but I have to leave early, so I thought I would come up first, and I just wanted to share that, you know, I've been spending some time in some of the evenings helping Keith and Chuck relax from the day and get ready for the next day, and I want to tell you that I have been so blessed by doing that, because I get to have this conversation with Keith. And he's tired, so his guard's down, and he's more truthful than, you know, it's not so politically correct. I think I'm hearing Keith unfiltered, as they like to say, and it's really good. And my testimony is that I've been blessed by doing that, because getting an opportunity to spend time with Keith and to hear him talk about various things, it's just been an enrichment to my life, and God is doing things in that, and it's been a faith builder for me. as well as I think it's been helpful for him, because every now and then he'll like we all do, we'll let the cares of the world start to try and drag him down, or the enemy kind of pulling him in the wrong way, and I'm able to go, no. That's not the kind of voice you want to be listening to. That's not God's plan here. So we're excited. I'm personally excited at what's going on there. You can keep praying for me, praying for us, but I picked up maybe some good news, you know, that we're moving ever closer to getting myself made whole with my previous situation. So a promise is made that, maybe the end of next week something would happen. So
good.
So every time I talk, it's later, but it's less time till we miss the deadline. So it used to be the end of last month, and the middle of last month, and the end of the month came, and then I waited till after Labor Day and just said, hey, I thought, and I said, oh, end of next week. So, it's kind of like, the Israelites, I'm out there and I'm in the desert, and I'm just sort of waiting, and then when God makes it happen, He's going to make it happen. So, but it's encouraging. We're moving in the right direction, and so, appreciate your prayers that actually comes to pass. Anyways, I love you, and I won't be there tonight. I'll be in Green Bay. So, other important stuff to take care of today.
I just happened to be reading a little in Luke right before Keith asked us to come up and pray about a situation, and I want to read you this setting of scripture, because it seemed to fit right in with the way we were praying. And it's when it's in Luke, and it's John has been born, and then his father prophesied with the Holy Spirit, saying, and I'm going to read what he prophesied. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets who have been since the world began. That we should, and this is the part that relates, I feel like, what we were praying, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath which He swore to our father Abraham, to grant to us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. And it says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go forth before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guard our feet into the way of peace. And at this point today, we don't really have physical enemies, really. I mean, there's no armies coming against us or anything. But in the spirit realm, we have lots of enemies,
Yeah.
And so I just felt like that setting to pray again, that we be saved from our enemies seemed fitting, in the spiritual sense of the word. And then I thought it's really interesting that it's when they brought Jesus into the temple to Simeon, and it says that, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom for the law. He took him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, and here's what's interesting. This is back then, you know, which is a long time ago. And it's all about Israel at the time. But when he prophesied, listen, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Isn't that interesting? He probably thought, what am I saying when he had done? In a way, you know. And the glory of your people Israel. But, I mean, that doesn't seem to fit with anything of their customs or anything or how they'd been living all that time up till now, because they had nothing to do with Gentiles. And there he is prophesying that the Lord is going to bring salvation to the Gentiles also. And I just picked up on that just now. That's really interesting. I mean, that was showing the big changeover of the new covenant.
Yes.
You know, and that was prophesying the beginning of it, basically. And I'm really looking forward to this next week, because there's nothing planned. I spent an awful lot of time on my feet this last weekend, you know. And you kind of feel it at the end of the day or the next morning for a while, and then it works out. But, you know, it's just like if I stand a long time, the way my back spine is, it makes me want to go forward. Well, that creates ache, you know, because it shouldn't. It should be. So if I bend over a lot, it kind of counteracts it. And then I got a little tendon thing in my left ankle there that, you know, they say that if your back is bad, sometimes it affects your calves. You can cramp or whatever. And I know, just noticed they were getting sore. And a little bit last night, I almost had a cramp. You know, I can tell. So just those kinds of things. Just physical. You know, it was a busy week. All got done. You know, so like I say, though, I'm really looking forward to this. And now all kinds of things will pop up. So.
I'm not really at a loss for words. Well, maybe I am. I'm excited at what God is doing, and the thing that has become so refreshing and new and whatever to us is that we're letting God do it instead of us trying to get in the middle and do it ourselves. Amen. And I remember years ago, I think it was Don Burnett, I don't know, he used to say, if nothing is happening, make something happen. Mm-hmm. And but the Bible says, wait on the Lord. You know, there's a difference. And to as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. And so what we have to do is let the Spirit lead us. And there's a reason. And we think, how's He going to lead us? He's not going to lead us our way. He's going to lead us God's way. God wants us to do things His way. And He has it all set up. And we like to get in the middle and do it our way. And it just doesn't work. But when we wait, you know, because we're impatient, I want to see something happen. I want to see people healed. I want to see miracles take place. And I'm watching something at the moment that is it's phenomenal, and it's because I'm so close to the situation that I can see it. But there's been a major difference in a lot of things that Chuck does. And the memory is better, and it shouldn't be. It should go the other way. But he's doing things that requires his memory, and I haven't seen him be able to use that for a year, at least a year or more. And so while the medical profession says that it won't get any better, something's happening. And so I don't know how good it's going to get, but however, it's better than it was. Let's put it that way. And so, and I'm expecting to see God do some marvelous things to open a door. You know, when God opens a door, nobody can shut it. And when he closes it, nobody can open it. And God is, right now, is beginning to do some major things in a lot of people. And in people that I know. And so I'm excited. You know, what's going to happen? But anyway, I'm also tired. So, but we can go home early. We don't have to stay.
Yeah. First of all, glory, Chuck. Because yeah. I don't think it's going to stop a little. I think his mind's going to be fully restored. And I've been praying that way for a long time. You know, I was just thinking, I had a thought, whatever, something. And I was feeling like compelled to pray against the lying spirits of doctrine. And then I thought, oh boy, that could get us in trouble. But who cares, you know. I mean, I don't mean necessarily with the church world. I mean with the evil side. And so I was just going to say, maybe kind of put that into your prayer a little if you feel led to. Because I was thinking, I was reading and it says, you know, it only refers to Jesus always in the scriptures as the Son of God. It never once, ever says God the Son. So where does that come from? You know, that's why I'm saying these lying spirits that have been working for thousands of years, actually. But because they announce and they say, well, this is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ. Isn't that interesting? You know, the Messiah, the Christ. It's the Messiah, the Anointed One. This is Jesus, the Messiah, Anointed One, the Son of God. And so, I mean, that's just the only part I had right here for that. And I just thought I'd mention it and just like Keith was sharing a little before the service, the churches are in a terrible state. I mean, I went and spent time with my in-laws, and one of my brother-in-laws, he's been going around just filling in at churches. And most of them are Lutheran or Baptists, I think. And because there's just a lack. And like it's interesting that one of the comments is, and they're expensive. Well, you know, when you go spend all that time in school, college, seminary, and everything, it racks up a big bill, and you think you should be justified with payment, you know? When that wasn't the way God set it up. Because for one, we found out through His mercy and grace that going through all of that does not give you a love for the truth, and it doesn't even provide a platform for the truth. In fact, it provides a platform for deceptive heresies, you know, deceptive doctrines. It builds, it helps continue the ones that were false, you know. And so you can see why, how long can that sustain, you know? Eventually, it collapses because God probably is deciding maybe now is the time, you know. And it's funny because a lot of those people in those churches, they have the wrong concept of what they're looking for also. You know, it's part of their problem too, because they have this idea of what a pastor should be, and he better be what we want him to be, you know. So there's no freedom. And I think it's going to come to a climax, you know. And look at the Catholic Church, how it's being, you know, broken up because of, you know, the ridiculous acts of the ones that are over the people, you know, taking advantage and whatnot. So I think there's going to be a lot of changes coming. And you know, a lot of the people in the world are going to be going, yeah, see, I knew none of that stuff was right, you know.
Yeah.
Well, they're right. A lot of that stuff isn't right. Yeah. But when they start hearing truth, and it isn't just that, you know, I think whoever of us God may use, it isn't just that you're going to be speaking truth. He's going to be putting His Spirit behind it, and it's going to bring conviction to people, you know. And they're going to go, well, they're going to do like Jesus. Who is this man who speaks with such authority that the scribes don't even come close to that? You know, that's what they said about him. Because he was coming with truth and authority. They were just relating what had been written. Most of the time, because that's a scribe, he writes down. They didn't have any real conviction, probably, in what they wrote, to, you know, if they repeated it. And so, when God does this, it's going to create two reactions. They're either going to gnash their teeth, or they're going to rejoice and repent and come into the kingdom, you know? And it's going to be interesting. There'll be those who are rejoicing because the churches are falling apart, but they don't understand that it's God's hand in it, and He's got something coming that's going to touch their heart, because God says He will touch every heart in this world so that no one can say they didn't know. You know? Mm-hmm. And so there won't be right now you can still plead ignorance to a degree. But when you come to the day of judgment, there will be no plea of ignorance. It won't even be in there, you know. That will not be an excuse or a reason. Well, there won't be any excuses, you know. It'll just be the judgment.
About one in every hundredth time when I listen to some in the scriptures, I write it down about one in every hundredth time that I hear something that I want to share, I write it down. And a few days ago, so it was like three different passages. I wrote them down. And then I came home. And I read him. I'm like, why did I write this down?
Yeah, I hear
you. And I was so excited when I was listening. It's like I'm in a different, you know, I'm laboring, but I'm in a different, something when I'm listening.
Yeah.
And so it came together when I was listening. When I got home, I guess, like, why in the world? I was trying to find some. But anyways, one of them was Ephesians 3:18. I'm just going to read it And I got no comment. Maybe the stage was set before I got to here, I don't know, or whatever. But I'm going to start at 3:14, but But it's 18 what grabbed me. But anyways, so it says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." I think that's one of the things that got me. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family. How often do you hear the word family in heaven, kingdom? So family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend, with all the saints, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now you take it. Yes. Now this is for you now. If this is Ephesians 3, and you know,
yeah,
that's all. Yeah, I started reading today at 14 just now, but just the whole thing. Anyways, other thing I don't even remember where it was, but it says the heaven and earth will melt with a fervent heat, and I started to think, you know, I can understand earth, that it will melt. But in heaven? Why heaven? And then he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And I would imagine that the new heaven is going to be even greater than this heaven. I'm not going to question why God does what he does. But, a new heaven. And then I started thinking, you know, then a scripture came to me, and I don't know that it ties up real well, but maybe even the kingdom of heaven is not so good. The kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom of heaven is corrupted somewhat, possibly. I don't know. This is Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence. And violent people, this is New International Version now, and violent people have been writing it. And then I started reading other versions. For example, New Living Translation, and from the time of John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. The kingdom of heaven has been subject to violence, and the violent lay claim to it. The kingdom of heaven is taken by violence, and the violent sees it, suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. King James, which is what I was familiar with, New King James, suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence, and the violent have been seizing it by force. Violent people have been trying to take over the kingdom of heaven by force. The kingdom of heaven has suffered violent attacks, and violent men try to seize it. Anyways, it's not like this scripture over here that is the same everywhere. This is just all different places. Some of them, they John the Baptist is John the Baptizer. It makes sense. Anyways, so I thought, you know, we're going to have a new earth, and I'm glad about that. And where we're going to be forever, you know. And it really excites me that you guys are going to be there too. It does. And a new heaven. And it's going to be everything. Everything's going to be redone for some reason, you know.
As you were talking, I thought of something. You know, the skeptics and the unbelievers and so forth have a hard time with creation and our whole solar system, a lot of things. But I was thinking about the sun. The sun has been apparently up there shining forever. Wouldn't you think it'd burn out after a while? What do the unbelievers do with that? What do they do? It's one thing for the earth and people that are on it and the way they think they came about. What about the sun? Wouldn't you think in 72 billion years it would wear out? And isn't something being removed from it as it is up there burning? Or it's just everything that God has created is weird to the natural man. It's all weird. And you know what? It's weird to me. God somehow keeps these things going, and that's what I was trying to say. There's a place in the Bible where, and I can't remember exactly the circumstances, but the sun stood still for a day, or how long was it?
Well, it wasn't any more than a day.
The sun stood still. Well, the sun is not standing still. The earth had to stand still. You know what I mean? Because it wouldn't make any sense, because if the earth kept on turning, and so what's changed our whole time system. So the earth, our calendars and stuff have a flaw. They're off. Things are off a little bit. And it's like... Pardon?
I thought the sun backed up.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's almost the earth would have to, it'd have to stand. But even so, if the sun stood still, instead there's somebody, some people would have been in darkness over for 24 hours or for a longer period of time. But everything that we have is mysteriously here. And the only thing that can help us is to receive the evidence and the substance called faith. Why don't we come up to the front? You got something? I'm extremely tired.
I just wanted to add or follow up with what Pablo said. I totally relate to that. I have had that happen. And so a lot of you out there listening, you're probably saying the same thing. And, you know, I was just sitting there thinking about it a little bit. It's like you're going along and it really confirms that the Holy Spirit is teaching, because it isn't that those moments are not wasted. It's been put in your spiritual mind. And yeah, when you get home, all of a sudden your spiritual mind isn't there at the same place anymore. And so you're not going to pick it up with your natural mind. And like Paul says, yeah, you almost want to sit there and just keep searching and studying. Like, why did I, and where did, you know, a lot of times I don't remember where it was. And that drives me nuts, because I'll spend a half hour trying to find it. And finally I just say, well, you'll show me later again. And a lot of times he does, you know. So it just confirms how the Holy Spirit is working, you know. And we shouldn't get, you know, all riled up if we don't bring it to recall later, because I think eventually you'll know and you'll bring it back to recall. So, you know, just I'm sure a lot of people are going, yeah, I know, that's happened to me. So we're not alone, you know. Amen.
Yeah, let's come up to the front.